Live Updates 2020, Dems Debate in Miami. By Tony Lee on June 26, 2019. The 2020 presidential debate season kicks off on Wednesday evening in Miami, Florida, as 10 Democrats will take the stage with many needing the debates to stay relevant. To qualify for the first round of debates, Democrats needed to get 1% support in 3 sanctioned polls or get 65,000 unique donors. Lester Holt, Chuck Todd, Savannah Guthrie, Jose Diaz-Balart, and Rachel Maddow will be the moderators for the NBC debate, and Breitbart News' Joel Polak is on the ground at the debate site. The first round of debates will be like training camp in sports. They will matter most to Democrats who must avoid being cut, while frontrunners will only have to avoid season-ending injuries. To qualify for the next round of debates, Democrats will need to get 2% support in 3 sanctioned polls and get 130,000 unique donors. On Wednesday, Senator Elizabeth Warren, DMA, former Representative Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke, DTX, former San Antonio Mayor and Housing and Urban Development Secretary Julian Castro, Senator Cory Booker, DNJ, Senator Amy Klobuchar, DMN, Washington Governor Jay Inslee, Representative Tim Ryan, DO, Representative Tulsi Gabbard, DHI, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, and former Representative John Delaney, DMD, will be on the stage. On Thursday, former Vice President Joe Biden, Senator Bernie Sanders, IVT, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, South Bend, Indiana, Senator Kamala Harris, DCA, entrepreneur Andrew Yang, former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, Representative Eric Swalwell, DCA, Sen. Michael Bennett, DCO, and spiritual advisor Marianne Williamson will debate. Stay tuned to Breitbart News for live updates throughout the evening. All times Eastern. 12:06 p.m. Will Democrats on Thursday speak Spanish and other languages? Tim Ryan Salty. 12:02 p.m. Castro, trying to KO Beto, again rips him for not doing his homework on immigration issues during a CNN interview. Beto may not be able to wing this for much longer. And he's still going for the shiv. Trump can't resist getting in another jab. 11:17 p.m., Matthews praises de Blasio for punching above his weight tonight and speaking about the dangers of nation-building and intervening all around the world. Matthews asks why Biden and Kerry supported stupid wars. De Blasio says Democrats are afraid to be Democrats and progressives and this party is not the party of war. Biden/Buttigieg lucky they did not share the stage with de Blasio tonight. 11:15 p.m., Castro's attempt to KO Beto while he is fading. 11:10 p.m., MSNBC's Chris Matthews thanks Joe Biden won the debate because nobody challenged the frontrunner's record. 10:59 p.m., closing statements. De Blasio, he says Democrats must fight for working Americans and says he has seen the face of poverty and then instituted a $1.15/hour minimum wage. He talks about pre-K programs and universal health care. Inslee wants to look grandkid in eye and said he did everything humanely possible to solve the climate crisis, which he says should be the top priority of every candidate. Ryan, nothing worse than not being heard. He speaks about the forgotten Americans he represents and mentions there are tent cities in California and plenty of Americans facing economic distress. He says Democrats need to play some offense to solve these issues. Castro, he says in Spanish that his name is Julian Castro and he is running for president. Tells the backstory of his grandmother and says he wants to say adios to Trump in 2021. Klobuchar, effective closing. Says she wants voters to know 3 things about her. She listens to people and that's how she gets things done. Can win and beat Trump. Doesn't have a political machine and doesn't come from money. She says she doesn't make false promises and will govern with integrity. Booker, he talks the discrimination his family faced in the housing/civil rights testers who helped his family move into a white neighborhood. Speaks about common purpose and says the election needs to not only be a referendum on Trump but a referendum on us. Beto mentions his daughter and says he is running for children and to bring everyone into the political system. Warren says she never would have dreamed she would have been a candidate for president. Says she wanted to be a teacher growing up and vows to fight for working people instead of people at the top. 10:40 p.m., Todd asks every candidate what is the greatest geopolitical threat. Delaney, China and nuclear weapons. Inslee, Donald Trump. Gabbard, nuclear war. Klobuchar, economic threat is China, Iran and Mideast as other threats. Beto, climate change. Warren, climate change. Booker, nuclear proliferation. Castro, China and climate change. Ryan, China. De Blasio, Russia. 10:35 p.m., Holt asks a question from a viewer about whether United States has a responsibility to intervene when there are genocides. And O'Rourke says America has that responsibility but needs to be undertaken with allies, partners, and friends. Tulsi says we have to bring troops home from Afghanistan and says Ryan's answer about needing to stay engaged and not withdrawing from the world is absolutely the wrong answer. She tells Ryan that the Taliban, and not Al-Qaeda, attacked America on September 11th and that is why she joined the military. 10:33 p.m., Castro says Democrats need to recognize racial justice. And he name checks numerous people of color who have been killed by police officers. 10:30 p.m., Todd asks Democrats how they would combat McConnell to get their bills passed if Republicans still control the Senate. Warren says putting pressure on from the White House. Delaney talks about bipartisanship and speaks about real solutions and not impossible promises. Inslee is asked whether his climate change plan will save Miami, and he says it does. But he strangely deviates from his top topic. Ryan stresses the need for the party to represent forgotten Americans and not be a coastal, elite, Ivy League party. 10:15 p.m., Maddow asks her pal Booker about Supreme Court justices. Booker says if you need a license to drive a car, you should get a license to own guns. He says Democrats will get 50 votes in the Senate and Democrats need to campaign in places like South Carolina and Iowa. De Blasio is asked about the Supreme Court and he, too, wants to talk about guns. He says what sets him apart is that he has raised a black son in America and he has had to have conversations with him about protecting himself free. Too many tragedies between black men and police officers. 10:09 p.m. Booker talks about people dying from gun violence in his neighborhood, rips corporations and those who call for thoughts and prayers. Castro says the worst thing is knowing that his child may be worried about what could happen in school. He says he believes Democrats will control all three branches of government in 2021 and praises the Parkland and Moms Demand Gun Control activists. He says common sense gun reform will get done. Ryan says we need to play offense. Calls for mental health counselors in every school because many shooters have been bullied. Todd asks O'Rourke what he says to voters who think Democrats will take their guns away. O'Rourke talks about supporting assault weapon bans and red flag laws. 10:06 p.m., NBC probably lost a lot of viewers because of the snafu. Warren is now answering Todd's question about gun control and saying the toughest question she has gotten is from a kid who asked her how she is going to keep children safe. She says gun violence is a national health emergency and calls for doubling down on research in addition to banning weapons of war. She won't answer if the federal government should go out and get guns. Warren says guns in the hands of a collector is different than guns that are turned over quickly. 10 p.m., everyone's microphones are now on after NBC returns from commercial break. Chuck Ross Porter Todd sets up gun control questions. He asks if there is a role for the federal government to get the guns off the streets. More technical difficulties. NBC has to go to a commercial break. And it deprives some of these candidates on the verge of being cut critical airtime. 9:45 p.m., Booker says private prisons are repugnant to him and says America has made so many mistakes by criminalizing things like illegal immigration, mental illness, etc. Inslee says it is not a threat to threaten to send refugees to Washington because he would welcome them. Ryan compares detention center for illegal immigrants to Guantanamo, saying terrorists get better health care than illegal immigrants at detention centers. 9:40 p.m., de Blasio jumps in and says politicians are not being honest about the division that has been fomented. He says big corporations, not immigrants, are responsible for depressed wages. He doesn't mention a lot of big corporations want cheap labor and illegal immigrants. Diaz-Balart now asks O'Rourke in Spanish what he would do on day one in the White House. He says he would not turn away those seeking asylum at the border and would spare no expense to reunite families. Castro goes after O'Rourke on immigration, perhaps trying to become the dominant Texan in the race, on Section 13.25 so families are not separated. Trump weighs in. 9:35 p.m., back from commercial break and Diaz-Balart speechifies on immigration. He asks Castro what he would do on immigration and tees up Castro to talk about his immigration plan. Castro says the images of the dead bodies at the border are heartbreaking and should piss us all off. He says he would sign executive orders to get rid of the metering policies and accuses the Trump administration of playing games with people seeking asylum. He says he would follow that up in the first 100 days with an immigration plan that gives a pathway to citizenships to illegal immigrants who have not committed crimes, plus a Marshall Plan for Central America. Booker now also busts out Spanish and says on day one, he will make sure he will end the ICE policies that are violating human rights. He says he will reinstate DACA/TPS. Booker says we need to make major investments in the Northern Triangle countries and not surrender our values and think we will get border securities. 9:30 p.m., Castro says he believes in reproductive justice and now speaks about people in the trans community exercising the right to choose even if they are poor. He says he would appoint judges that would respect Roe. 9:22 p.m., Warren says she's with Bernie on Medicare for All. She says she spent her whole life studying why families go broke and the top reason is because of health care. Beto, when asked about yet another flip-flop on the issue, says his goal is to ensure that everyone has health care. He says he would not replace private insurance. Gabbard chimes in and says she is for Medicare for All. Booker says health care is also an education and retirement issue. He says health care is a human right and an American right. He says too many people are profiteering off of the pain in America. Klobuchar brings the debate back to the public option and calls out Inslee after he says he is the only candidate on the state that has advanced the law on abortion rights. Warren says the right to abortion needs to be federal law. 9:20 p.m., Holt shifts debate to health care. He asks who would abolish health care in favor of a government-run plan. Warren and de Blasio raise hands. Klobuchar does not raise her hand and Holt asks her why she wants to keep private insurers. She pivots to pharmaceuticals and criticizes Trump for not getting drug prices down while giving giveaways to Big Pharma. All foam and no beer, she says of Trump. 9:15 p.m., de Blasio asked about income inequality and he claims he has addressed income inequality by raising wages and a variety of programs. De Blasio says Democrats are supposed to be a party for working people. And that means free college for young people, a 70% tax rate, and breaking up corporations. He says the party has to be bold and aggressive. He says there is plenty of money in this country and it's just in the wrong hands. And Democrats need to fix that. Delaney is asked if he agrees and answers that everyone needs a living wage. He says he has called for a doubling of the earned income tax credit. He says he is a different because he has been a businessman. Inslee says plans are great but Democrats need to stand up for unions and reinvigorate collective bargaining. Interesting play for Inslee to go for the union vote. Inslee says wind turbines cause jobs instead of cancer and calls out Trump. Ryan says you can promise, as Trump did, that manufacturing jobs can come back. But he criticizes GM for moving the new car that they are going to produce to Mexico. He talks about family members who have been laid off and had to unbolt machinery and ship it to China. 9:14 p.m., Gabbard gets the same questions and gives an answer about being anti-war. 9:12 p.m., Castro given a softball about the pay gap. He talks about his mom's struggles and calls for an equal rights amendment. 9:10 p.m., Warren is asked if she is picking winners and losers and says courage is missing in Washington because the monopolies are making campaign contributions and funding super PACs. Her second answer is better and less robotic/scripted than her first. 9:06 p.m., Guthrie asks Beto about what his top individual rate would be. He doesn't directly answer the question and starts speaking Spanish and speaks about how the economy is not working for anybody. Beto again asked if he would support a 70% top marginal rate and Beto, as always, punts. 9:05 p.m., Klobuchar is asked if Democrats are offering false hopes. She says she is concerned about footing the bill for college for rich kids. She talks about her plan that focuses on community colleges. 9 p.m., the debate is about to get started. Warren, as expected, gets the first question and is at the center of the stage. Guthrie asks if her plans would be risky for the economy. Warren goes into a stump speech about how the economy is doing great for those at the top and for African Americans and the Latinx community. She talks about the need for structural change in government. 8:50 p.m., DNC Chair Perez also name checks the daughter, Valeria, who drowned at the U.S.-Mexico border along with her father. Democrats politicizing the tragic deaths at the border even though they never cared, no matter how many times over the years Breitbart News reported on deaths at the U.S.-Mexico border. 8:30 p.m., Breitbart's Joel Polak in Miami. Trump wants to be a moderator. Wednesday's lineup, June 26. Elizabeth Warren, get Warren and her campaign credit. Unlike other candidates who have languished in the polls, Warren outworked her opponents, impressing the party's very liberal white liberals in addition to Democrats of color at events like the She the People Forum, to emerge as perhaps Biden's top rival. Warren has taken tens of thousands of selfies, called individual donors, released plans for nearly everything, and reminded Democrats of the wonky student who did most of the work whenever a group project got assigned. Most impressively, she successfully branded herself as the candidate with a plan, and is now not primarily defined as the fake Native American candidate, which is how even CNN's Van Jones labeled her in the early stages of the campaign. But as her cringeworthy interview with radio host Charlemagne the God showed, the Native American controversy will not go away, and Democrats will have to decide if someone who likely lied about her race and ethnicity to benefit is the best candidate to take on Trump, who will eviscerate her as Pocahontas and her botched DNA test every day on the trail. Warren will qualify for the next round of debates and has earned a right to get an eventual showdown with Biden. Booker is not guaranteed to qualify for the next round of debates. Perhaps his good buddy from Stanford, Rachel Maddow, will throw him some more lifelines tonight. Julian Castro. Castro has led the way on many issues. Immigration, housing, restricting qualified immunity, etc., impacting people of color. For some reason, his campaign never branded him as the candidate who has the best plans for Democrats of color. Castro, like Booker, also comes across as too polite. Must be something in the Palo Alto water. Castro is not guaranteed to qualify for the next round of debates. Beto O'Rourke, Democrats across the country hated Senator Ted Cruz. RTX, so much that a, along with Cruz's underwhelming re-election campaign, made a vacuous congressman who never really stood for anything into a temporary national star. Some in Cruz's campaign who have no clue about the electorate on the left, perhaps to try to make their close victory over O'Rourke look a bit better, talked up how formidable O'Rourke would be. Those assessments were downright silly then and look ridiculous now. O'Rourke will likely qualify for the next round of debates, but his star has faded considerably. Tim Ryan. Ryan is trying to be the centrist candidate who speaks about working class issues. But why would Democrats, unless they want a centrist who also does yoga, vote for a watered-down version of Biden when they can vote for Biden? Ryan is not guaranteed to qualify for the next round of debates. Amy Klobuchar. The first thing most voters learned about Klobuchar was that she was a nasty boss and had an aide clean her comb after she ate her salad with it. She often tries to interject her speeches with humor, but she has come across as a bit insecure in this election cycle in a party that may be too far to the left for her. Klobuchar is not guaranteed to qualify for the next round of debates and faces the same problem with centrist Democrats that Ryan does. Jay Inslee. Inslee is trying to be the climate change candidate but hasn't registered even among Democrats who tell pollsters that climate change is their top issue. He is unlikely to qualify for the next round of debates. Tulsi Gabbard. Foreign policy issues could give Gabbard a chance to appeal to the anti-war left. But she is unlikely to qualify for the next round of debates and may soon have to worry about getting re-elected to the House. It did not help her in the least when Howard Dean said she was the only candidate running who is not qualified to be president. Bill de Blasio, the candidate with the highest unfavorable ratings, has nothing to lose. He could try to outflank Warren from her left. De Blasio is not guaranteed to qualify for the next round of debates, and Messrs. Biden and Buttigieg are lucky that he will not be to them what Al Sharpton was to Howard Dean in the 2004 election cycle.